Proverbs chapter 3, we'll be looking at a verse in just a minute, but have you noticed life is full of ups and downs? There's good days, there's bad days. Some days it seems like everything goes well, and some days it seems like nothing goes well. You know, they've got the phrase, when it rains, it pours, and sometimes bad things just happen. As I was studying for this and preparing for this, I came across a video of a guy. He just goes into his house and he flips a light switch to turn the light on and no light comes on. So he walks over to the lamp and he looks at it and the bulb's blown out. No problem. So he goes over to get a new bulb. And as he reaches in the storage closet to get the bulb, the shelf is wobbly. So he looks under it, there's a screw loose. So he's like, he goes to get the screwdriver to fix the shelf. And as he opens the drawer to get a screwdriver, he's hearing it squeaking. And so he's like, I got to go get some WD-40. So he goes in the garage to get some WD-40. To fix the drawer, and of course the can of WD-40 is empty, so he goes in the house, gets his keys to go to the hardware store to get WD-40, and his car won't start. And it ends with him in the garage, underneath of his car, working on his car, so he can go to the hardware store, so he can get WD-40, so he can fix the squeaky drawer, so he can get the screwdriver to fix the shelf, so he can replace the light bulb. And everything he touched just broke. Have you ever had those days where you feel like, or a season? Why are bad things happening? You know, tonight I want to talk about one reason why bad things happen in our lives. And but before we get to it, it's important for us to understand bad things happen for a multitude of reasons. And we can't just automatically assume that every bad thing happens because of one particular reason. Sometimes bad things happen because God sends difficulties to test us. Or to grow us. In the case of Abraham, God sent Abraham to leave his country. That was a hard thing. He later told him to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice. That was a bad thing. And God used it to grow his faith. Other times, God uses bad things in our lives so we can help others. Joseph was sold into slavery and went to Egypt. A bad thing for many, many years. A very, very bad part of his life. And God used it to save many, many people from the famine. Sometimes God uses bad things to help other people. Sometimes God allows bad things in our lives to protect us. We see that in the New Testament with Paul asking the Lord three times to remove the thorn, and God left it there to protect him. You know, I've heard stories about people getting a flat tire and stopping to deal with the problem of the flat tire, only to find out later that the flat tire delayed them from being on the highway right when there was a big accident. Sometimes God sends bad things into our lives to protect us. Sometimes it's the work of Satan, and God allows it. And Satan does try to trip us up or attack us. We know that from Job. Boy, we know clearly that all the bad things that Job faced was because of Satan's attacks. Even though his friends tried to convince him that it was because of his sin, we know it came from Satan. Sometimes bad things are just the result of a sinful world or the actions of other people. I was just thinking about David, godly young man, killed Goliath, was serving his king, and he went through a period of his life where he's running for his life from Saul only because somebody else's sin, of Saul's sin. So there's a variety of reasons why bad things happen. But tonight I want to look at one in particular. We're in Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. And the Bible says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Tonight I want to preach on the topic of despise not the chastening of the Lord. Chastening is something that when we're going through it, it looks like bad things are happening. It looks like difficulties are here. Chastening is the punishment that God sends into the lives of people that have turned away from God, who have backslidden, and is what God sends to bring them back to him. Again, this is one of many reasons. So as we go through this, Satan would love to give us a sense of false guilt. That saying any bad thing that happens in your life is because you must have done something wrong. The reason I pointed out many other instances in the Bible when bad things happen is because not every bad thing that happens is because we're in sin. Even though Satan would want us to tempt us that and to attack us with that. Many times difficulties come for tons of different reasons that God allows. But tonight I want to look at this idea of chastening. God clearly sends it. He sends it for a purpose. He gives it to us to help us. So tonight, I want to better learn and learn more about it and how God uses it in our lives. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'll help us to understand, Lord, how you deal with us, Lord, how you help us. Lord, chastening is a good thing. Lord, it's something you send to be a blessing to us and to help us. Lord, help us to understand it. Lord, help us to be tender, Lord, and willing to listen to you and follow you, Lord, when you do correct us. And Lord, I just pray for humility and for understanding and discernment in our lives. Lord, in this area of chastening, Lord, we pray all this in your name. Amen. If you would, go ahead and turn over to Jeremiah chapter 30. We'll be there the rest of the night. Jeremiah 30 really gives a whole picture of this idea of chastening. And God lays it out in a lot of detail, an example or an illustration of when he sends chastening into the lives of some of his people. In this passage, Jeremiah is speaking to the nation of Israel, and he's describing the chastening, and the chastening here is Israel's captivity. We know Israel, the chastening that God's talking about is Israel being taken captive, conquered by another country, and brought away, far away from their homeland, into captivity. That's the chastening that God sends them. We could definitely consider that a bad time. As the Israelites are going through this, they can definitely feel like everything is going wrong. Why is God allowing this to happen? Let's look at verse number 1, and we'll read a few verses of Jeremiah chapter 30. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave their fathers, and they shall possess it." In verse 3, we see God's end result, or his end goal. His goal wasn't that they stay in captivity. His goal was that he used the captivity to help them and to eventually bring them back into the land of Judah. In verse number 2, though, it's interesting. God tells Jeremiah, "Write thee all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." Now, earlier on in Jeremiah, in the first parts, whenever God gave Jeremiah a message, he said, "Go speak to people, preach it, tell the people." It was a verbal message. But when he gets here, he says, "Write it down." Now, we know all of the book of Jeremiah God gave for us. And Jeremiah 30 is just as much the scripture as chapters 1 through 29. But it's interesting that this particular message, God wanted Jeremiah to write it down in a book, something that would last, so that many generations afterwards would have it. He's not just speaking to the children of Israel. It's a picture of chastisement that he wants all of his people to have throughout the future. So as we go through this chapter and he's describing the chastisement that's on Israel, it's a picture of how he deals with his people back in Jeremiah's day and even now. So if we can understand a bit more about this chastisement for Israel, we can understand a bit more how God deals with us and how we ought to respond to God's chastisement. The first thought I want to think about is reasons. Reasons that God sends chastisement. Why would God send it? It's not just random. It's not just a revenge. It's sent for a purpose. Why does God have to send chastisement? Or what brings chastisement on us? The first thought, chastisement is a result of us not serving God. If you look at verse 22, this is the end of the chapter. And in this section, God's talking about his goal, what he wants to accomplish from the chastisement. When I send chastening, this is what I want it to do. And in verse number 22, this is one of the goals of God sending the chastening. And he says, "And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God," after the chastisement. Indicating before the chastening, they weren't living like his people. And they weren't living like God was their God. One of the reasons Israel went into captivity is because they stopped living like God's children. And one of the reasons God has to send chastening into our lives is when we stop living
like children of God. And the reason God sends it into our lives is so that we will start living like God's children again. Think about Israel. They had a temple. They had a set up to where they could worship God, and they worshiped other idols. They went after their own lusts. They had kings that went after all these other gods. They stopped serving God as their God. And that drove God to chasten them to bring them back to Him. Christian, when we start living with other gods, that's when we're opening ourselves up that we need to be chastened. They replace God in their lives with something else. Boy, it's easy to replace God, isn't it? Whether it's church, whether it's service, whether it's our time, whatever it is, it's easy to put something else in place of God in our lives. And when we do that, we're breaking that God and servant relationship. And one of the ways God restores us back to that is sending chastening. How is our relationship with God today? Are we treating Him like He's our God? And if not, God may have to use chastening to bring us back to that. Another reason, look back at verse 14. Another reason why God had to send chastening to bring Israel back to Him is the chastening was a result of the multitude of their sins. Look at verse 14. He's right in the middle of the chastening, describing the chastening. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastening of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. You know, to understand a bit when he's talking about your sins being increased, it's helpful to think about who he's talking to. Israel wasn't brought into captivity the first generation that they sinned. They sinned. And God sent some judgments on them. God sent prophets to preach to them. He sent some good kings to do right. And they'd do better sometimes, and then they'd go back into sin deeper than they were before. And then God would send more prophets, and He would mercifully send a revival, and they'd do better, and then they'd fall back deeper and deeper into sin. So by the time Israel was led away into captivity, it was generation upon generation of continual sin. The multitude of the iniquities, it was a continued lifestyle away from God. And when these people had for years and years lived away from God, God had no choice but to chasten them to bring them back. What causes God to send chastening into a Christian's life? It's a continued lifestyle without God. It's a continued living away from Him. Now, there's a few extremes we have to be careful of when we think about this. Satan would tempt us in one way to think that every little thing we do, God's ready there to drop the hammer on us. And anytime we have a failure, anytime we sin, anytime we fall, because we're in a sinful flesh, we just have this view that God's out to punish us. That's not what God did. The chastening didn't come because of a sin. This great chastening came because of a multitude of sins. So Christians, we have to have the right view of God, that God's not out to get us. He's there to help us. We're there to serve Him. But a continued lifestyle away from God will bring this chastening to bring us back to Him. Another extreme, though, is a Christian to think, God won't chasten me unless I'm really bad. So I can do little things, because God will only send chastening with a multitude of sins. So I can do little things here and there, and it doesn't matter to God. That's not true either. We have to live with God as our God. But a reason for chastening in our lives is a lifestyle where we continue in sin without submitting ourselves to God. When we do that, we become backslidden Christians. We become Christians who are not doing what we once were. We become Christians who have fallen back from where God wants us to be. And when we live as backslidden Christians, one of the methods God uses to bring us back to Him is this chastening. So what is this chastening? Point number two would be the ramifications of God's chastening. What does it look like? This chastening that God sends, in Israel's case, it was a captivity. God allowed other nations to come in and oppress them and eventually conquer them and take them away. And their chastening was being taken captive into a foreign country and serving that master. That was the chastening that God sent to Israel. The chastening that God sends to us will vary based on our lives. But it's something that God uses to get a hold of us. So a few lessons about what is this chastening. Look at verse number 11. First thing we can learn about this chastening is it's measured or it's calculated. Look at verse number 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure. Or God calculates and does things for a purpose when he sends chastening. You know, in our judicial system, it's not perfect, but we have punishments laid out for each crime. Fortunately, if you run a stop sign, you don't lose your license on the very first offense. When you run a stop sign, you have a penalty that meets that offense, probably in the form of a fine. But on the other hand, if you commit armed robbery and you go into a bank and rob a bank at gunpoint, you're not going to get a small fine. You're going to get a penalty suitable to that. When God sent chastening on Israel, he measured it, he calculated it, he knew what they could handle, and he knew what they needed in order to bring them back to him. When God sends chastening in our lives, it's calculated exactly for us. It's something we can handle, and it's something designed to bring us back to him. When we face chastening, there's God working in our lives to pull us back to him. And there's Satan working in our lives to keep us from him. One of the things I believe Satan will try to do is to get us to blame God, to get us to become bitter at God that God is giving us more than we deserve, that God's punishing us more than we ought, and it's making it too hard. We can't overcome this. But God clearly said, when I send chastening, it's measured just for you. How comforting is that when we're in the middle of chastening? Even though we don't like the chastening, even though it's hard, how comforting is it to know it's just what I need? That's the first thing God wants us to know about chastening. It's measured. Chastening is also fearful. If we look at verse 5, thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Fear often drives us to God. Think about the Israelites being taken captive by a foreign country. Fearful. And fear often drives people back to God. Chastening brings fear. Chastening brings a loss of purpose. Look at verse number 11. This was very interesting to me as I studied it. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. Now, part of the chastening of God was to take Israel out of their home country and away from what they had, their purpose. Now think about it. God brought Israel out of Egypt and gave them the promised land. He divided it up with their different tribes, and they had cities, they had vineyards, they had farms where they had grown up and lived there for generations. They had families that they had raised. They had houses that they were building. They had farms that they were building up. They had businesses that they were growing. They had places they wanted to raise their kids and take them to. They had a temple that had been built that they went to worship at. They had purpose. They had something to live for. But when God sent the chastening, he uprooted them out of that and brought them to a foreign country where now they were living in houses in a different land that they didn't really want to pass down to their kids. The farms and vineyards and businesses that they were working in belonged to somebody else. The occupations that they had to do, they were doing whatever they were told to do. their kids that they were raising up, they didn't have a heritage to tell them about, and all they could really look forward to was continued captivity. And I had to think to myself, what was their purpose? What were they living for? When Christians are backslidden, they lose a sense of purpose in their life. Amen. What does a Christian do when they don't have God in their life? Do they build a business? Does that fill the hole that was left from God not being in their life? Do they grow a family? Or what's the point of what are you raising your kids for if you're not raising them to follow God? Are you raising a family to be famous, to want your kids to just be wealthy? What's the point? What's your purpose? Is the purpose to just build wealth and enjoy life? Or what's the purpose at the end? Ask Solomon that. You take God out of a Christian's life, and what is his purpose in life? I think God does that to Christians. When they become backslidden, when they've built a life away from God, they can lose a sense of purpose and what's the point? What am I accomplishing with my life? And when God sends chastening, he does it to bring Israel back to their promised land, to give them another sense of purpose. And when God brings Christians back to fellowship with him, he gives them a renewed purpose. Here's what you should and can be doing with your life. Christian, what's your sense of purpose? Have you lost it? Maybe that's something God's using to have you reevaluate your walk with him. Are you walking with God? Are you fulfilling the purpose that he's given you to do? Chastening removes our purpose. Chastening brings hurt. Verse number 12, "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is grievous." Nobody likes hurt. When we face hurt, we want to find a solution. Whether it's poison ivy and you try to find a solution to the itch or whatever, you try to find the solution. When we're hurting, it drives us back to God. Chastening is incurable. Look at verse 12. It's incurable or it's hopeless from the human perspective. Jeremiah 30, verse 12. "For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines." There's nothing you can do. You don't have anything that's going to fix this. "All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities." I was thinking about this. What could Israel do when they were taken into captivity? They were spread out. They were scattered. If they tried to organize a rebellion, there were still few of them. They were depressed and scattered all around, and they're living in the middle of a massive empire. There was nothing they could do to fix that chastening. It was incurable. But you read later on down in the passage, and God says he cures it. The incurable wound that they could do nothing about, God cured it. And we know from the rest of Scripture, the Cyrus, the captor, the king that ruled over all of them, out of the blue, as it would seem, let them return back to their homeland. How did that happen? God cured it. Too many times, Christians, when we are living and chastening, God's sending things into our lives to get our attention, to get us back to him, we spend too much time focusing on curing the problem instead of repairing the relationship. Christian, do you ever feel like there's just a problem in your life you can't fix? Well, this comes up and I try to fix that. That comes up and I try to fix it. This comes up. And I'm constantly trying to fix these problems. It may be God testing you and growing your faith. Is it God trying to get you to go back to him? And if we spend all this time focusing on fixing the problems, we will never fix it. But if we repair the relationship with God and start serving God again the way we once did or the way he would have us to do, he can fix the problems. Their wound was incurable until they returned to God. Christian, when we're facing chastisement, we're not going to fix it. God fixes it when we return to Him. What else does chastening do? It brings loneliness. Verse 13, there is none to plead thy cause. Boy, you got no support. You got nobody there to, hey, I'll help you out with this. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. Backslidden Christians, you can face loneliness. And there's lots of things we can try to put in to fix that loneliness. But what can you put in your life to replace the hole that comes from missing God? Chastening brings loneliness. Chastening brings sorrow. Chastening destroys your influence for Christ. Look at verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Now Zion was Jerusalem. It was there where the temple was. That's what Israel worshipped, and was Zion was the thing. And for the people that they were around to look at Zion and say, this is Zion, nobody wants any part of it. That was their testimony of God to the lost. Now, typically, backslidden Christians don't have that burden and that desire to share the gospel and to reach people for Christ. But not just backslidden Christians don't only not reach people for Christ, they hurt the cause of Christ. Israel caused people to look at them and say, nobody wants any part of that. Christian, are we backslidden? Are we in a state that we're detracting from Christ? To where an unsaved coworker or family member or an acquaintance looks at us and says, they're not faithful to their church. They don't live like a Christian. They don't talk about God like He means anything to them. They have nothing that I want. Why would I want their God? A backslidden Christian can detract from God. They can hurt God's testimony to the community. That's what Israel did when they sinned, when they continued in this lifestyle away from God, and God finally had to send chastening. It ruined their testimony for God. All these things are things that Christians can face today when we choose to live away from God. Do we want to live with these things? Christians, too many times Christians learn to live with these problems instead of fixing the relationship. It's easy to learn to be a sad, lonely person. It's easy to just develop a lifestyle of constantly going after and fixing problems. It's easier to just live with these problems sometimes in our minds than it is to, you know what, Lord, I've lived away from you and I want to come back to you. Christian, don't learn to live with the chastening. Learn to come back and restore that fellowship with God. What is the result of coming back? When God sends chastening and His goal is to get Christians uncomfortable and unhappy and uncontent so they'll come back to Him, and when Christians return to God and restore that fellowship and that relationship, what is the result? There's a few results that happens when we return to God. But one of the lies the devil will try to sell us when we know God's drawing us back to Him is chastening means we're useless. That's what Satan may tell us. God's punishing you. He doesn't want you. He can't use you anymore. And that's the opposite of what God wants from chastening. Chastening is intended to bring us back to Him. Let's look at verse 16. We'll read a few verses about what God does through chastening in our lives. Verse 16, therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds. saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. And the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. And I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. What a change from the first part of the passage. First couple verses are, I'm going to send this. I'm going to let this happen. I'm going to send this into your life. And that's the chastening to bring you back. But when you come back, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to bless you. And this is how I'm going to multiply your efforts and work in your life. What happens when we return to God? Look at verse number 18 again. One of the things is God returns us to our previous blessings. Or he returns us to our previous state before we went astray. Verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap. The city used to be there. When they fell away and sinned and chastisement came, it was destroyed. But when God brought them back, he was going to build the city right where it was. You know, years ago, I was at summer camp, and Pastor Jerry Ross was giving an illustration. And I remember him talking about going door to door, and he knocked on the door and met a young couple. And as he was witnessing to them, they both gave a testimony of salvation. They were both clearly saved. And part of that, they began to tell him about things that they did for the Lord. And she used to be a Sunday school teacher, and he used to be an usher, and he used to sing in the choir, and they used to serve in their church. But they no longer served in those areas. In fact, from what I remember, they no longer attended that church. I remember Pastor Ross saying, he spoke to those people and he said, what you're telling me is you're saved, but you're backslidden. And he said, they gave him a surprised look, not even realized how that they were backslidden, that they were no longer doing what they used to do. When God restores that fellowship, he restores us back to the things that we used to be able to do. Christian, are there things that you used to do for God? Or are there times that you used to hear God more than you do now? Or there were times that you knew when you prayed, God heard you, and now you don't have that. Now you pray, but I don't know if God hears me, because there's things in between. I may even sit down and read my Bible, but I don't get the things out of it that I used to, because I'm not where I used to be with God. I used to do this and this, and God used to use me to do these things, but he doesn't anymore because I've backslidden. When God restores that fellowship, he brings us back where we used to be. And he restores us. Christian, have you lost or given up something? Do you want it back? The way we do that is a restored fellowship with God. What else happens because of chastening when we return to God? A spirit of thanksgiving. Verse 19, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. Can you imagine being thankful for a whole bunch of bad things that happen in your lives? We can be when we realize God sent them for our good. I read a story about, actually, I think my wife shared the story with me, about a judge that he had convicted many people and passed judgment to send them into prison. But he not only worked with them when they went into prison, he also worked with them when they were released. and this judge enjoyed running, he created a running club, and he would reach out to these convicts after they were released from prison, and he'd have them run in his club, and he'd spend time with them and help them integrate back into society. And many of these men talked about that judge and said how thankful they were for him. The guy that sentenced them to prison. But they were thankful for him because he corrected them, he punished them for what they did wrong, and he helped them return back to a place that they never would have reached had it not been for the judge. When God sends chastening, my first reaction is, God, why are you sending bad things? But chastening is something we can be thankful for because it brings us back to a place we would never reach if it wasn't for the chastening. It's hard to imagine it, but we should be thankful for God's chastening because it's for our good. Chastening brings a joyful voice and a joyful heart. Verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. He brings joy back when people have their relationship restored with God. Chastening brings success and a prosperous life. Look at the second half of the verse. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. This isn't a prosperity gospel. This isn't if we walk with the Lord. If we're backslidden, we come back, we're going to be happy and wealthy and famous. That's not what he's talking about. But when we're doing what God has led us to do, we're going to accomplish and prosper with what God wants us. We're going to be successful in what God would have us to do. Chastening brings a prosperous future. Verse 20, their children also shall be as aforetime. Their congregation shall be established. We'll have a future. We'll have something to look forward to that we can pursue, that we can push towards. When we respond to chastening, God also gives us protection. And I will punish all that oppress them. When we return to God and restore that relationship that's been weakened or broken, he protects us then from other attacks. Last thought, what else do we get when we restore this relationship? Look at verse 22. We have a restored relationship with God, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. The biggest thing that God wants us to have is our relationship back with him. You know, Israel had given that up a long time before the chastening came. They didn't give up their relationship with God when the chastening came. They gave it up and lived for a long period without chastening, but without the relationship with God. The chastening was sent to bring that relationship with God back into their lives. You know, when life is simple, it's so easy to neglect the important things. When we go about our life, it's so easy to neglect that relationship. And while we may not have the problems, while we may not have all these difficulties, when we've broken that relationship and it's not where it should be with God, we're missing out on wisdom from him. We can make poor choices because we're not walking with God. We're not hearing God's wisdom. We don't have that encouragement when life just gets hard. And boy, I don't want to go do these things that I ought to be doing. And if we don't have that walk with God, God can't use it to encourage us and to help us to do what's right. We don't have that joy and that fellowship. We don't have everything that God wants to give us through his relationship. And when he sends chastening, the end result is to bring that relationship with God back into the number one priority. Amen. Christian, how's our relationship with God? If we're allowing other things to become our God, if we're allowing that relationship to sink in priority, we're opening ourselves up to where we need the chastening of God to bring us back to him. Lord,
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.